And welcome back, everybody. It's another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 863, your week 14 fab recap, some players to drop, and much, much more. In order to help you break it down, as usual, at the beginning of each and every week, is my co-host on the show. He's still in the top five in the main event overall right now. The kid himself. You can find him on Twitter at BreakingBend_T. Ben Tidd, how we doing, my friend?
Doing pretty good, Bubba. I just love how we can talk for 10 minutes before we get on the stream, not mention my main event at all. Then first thing you say when we start recording is bringing it up. But thanks again for the shout out. And going towards the show, though, it's another slower week in Fab, as we were discussing beforehand as well. So probably spend more time talking drops again, like we've been doing the last few weeks.
Yeah, and we're getting to that good set for those that have been paying attention. It was like kind of the obvious ones for a while. Got a little more interesting last week. A lot of pitchers, it felt like, last week. We're just going down the grid still, and a lot of interesting hitters are coming up for debate. Some have been getting drops. Some people have been debating it. I've heard of some of these names on other shows. I know I've been debating said situation, so we'll dig into a lot more on today's show, and we'll start getting some other topics for you as the season goes along, because the ad drops are slowing down. So with that, Ben, as usual, why don't you give everybody a little precursor by using Ryan's weekly Fab tracker to the moves, the spending, et cetera, that we're used to recapping each week.
Sure. Yep. So we'll start with the OC as usual. This week, the average team spent $24. This is down from 32 in week 13, but it's up $2 from 2025. And now that leaves the remaining balance per team in 2026, and the OC is at 327, whereas it was 328 last year. So we are right on the money now. It's kind of wild. We were saying how it's only a sample size of two, but just the fact that they're caught up at this point after 14 weeks, this is kind of insane. And then going to the main event, we averaged $27 in week 14. That's down from 41 in week 13. And the 27 is also down from week 14 in 2025, which is $30. And now the remaining balance on average per team in the main event is $298, whereas last year is $303. And then I will not forget this time, but going to the moves per league, going back to the OCs real quick, we're down to 18 in week 14. That's down for the sixth straight week. It's declined in the OCs. It was 26 in week 8. Now we're down to 18 and 14. This is as per league, as a reminder. So if you're at 18 ads per league in an OC, that means teams are averaging less than two ads per week now, which is I'm not always adding a ton of guys in the main event, but it's significant since we're at like 26-25 early for a 5-week stretch there. And then going to the main event, we were at 29 ads per week. So definitely a lot more than the OCs, but there's also three more teams. But that's closer to two per team, 29. It was down from 32 last week and 37 the week before in week 12. So we're seeing a big decline in the main event ads as well per league. And I'm sure it'll plateau at some point, but teams are getting more out of it. Football is ramping up again. It's continuing to ramp up. We keep saying that now as the summer hits. So it's just a sign to stay active if you're anywhere near competitive and have a chance at cashing in your leagues.
Yeah, there's still plenty of time to make moves up that leaderboard with people disappearing. We had Father's Day weekend, so people may have been preoccupied there. Also, I know it was a big fantasy football draft weekend for a bunch of groups, and that's just going to keep happening more and more often as we get closer to that whole situation. So it's a broken record. People say it a lot, but it's true. Like, this is if you stay diligent, you can make a lot of moves still in these leagues, and it just takes a couple strong weeks, and you'll see some climbing up some of these standings, as some of the statistics are still very, very close out there right now. And maybe we'll take a peek at that in the coming weeks to see what the percentile differences are here and there. But let's get to it, Ben, as we'll use the OC as a starting point, talk main event as well throughout the show, as most know. And we'll start with the most added player in the NFBC Online Championship, one Matthew Shaw. He was picked up in 188 OCs for as high as 116, as low as a dollar, average of 27, 75th percentile of 36. Very reasonable prices. Not a whole lot of big money spent, if that makes sense. Like, the averages are all pretty much in line. Your name was Yuri Perez this week. We'll get to that. Matt Shaw was added in 41 main events, average of 53, high of 123, men of 19. Shaw played every day last week in right field with Suzuki DHing. Moises Ballesteros was sent to AAA. So it looks like Matt Shaw is getting plenty of run, Ben, and he's been making the most of it, is what I would say, just this past week alone, or since June 13th. He has played in a whopping six games. He's hit safely in five out of six with a home run hitting .318. So it seems like we might get some serious Matt Shaw run unless the Cubs get goofy with us. What's your thoughts on this edition this week? He is third base outfield eligible.
Yeah, great eligibility for Matt Shaw. I think he was my most coveted player in FAB this past week amongst pitchers and hitters. I had him probably in a bid list on all four of my FAB leagues. And, yeah, it was kind of annoying because, of course, he hit the three-run homer on the – I forget if it was the weekend or not, but Shaw definitely did well in his return from the IL. And it was Ballesteros who was sent down. And now it seems like right field is Shaw's. So say is DHing, which is what the Cubs kind of want for him. He's not the best fielder. And there's no one really on the IL either that could take Shaw's spot. And so he looks pretty safe, barring anything crazy happening. And he's got good power and speed. I think he kind of projected out. Let's see what it says. Well, the NFBC projection that they have from the preseason is 11-15 for 348 bats. So he was kind of like a maybe 2020 type player going into drafts this year, Shaw, and hasn't stolen a base yet, like you said, but the speed's there and showed the power. So I think he's a great addition. The spending was a little bit more than I was willing to pay at this point on Shaw, mainly because of my remaining FAB balances. I was probably in like the 30s, I think, in all my leagues, were at least the ones where I had the most money. So I just missed out. I could have gotten on a couple spots if I got lucky, but Shaw was just too expensive, especially in the main event. And 27 in the OC is very nice. If my bids were OCs, I probably would have had a better shot at getting him, but they weren't. So I don't know. He definitely struggled in the past, Shaw, but I think at this point in the year, you kind of just take the playing time and the prospect pedigree. I hate saying that, but that's a good way to put it. So I think we'll have to wait and see if it works out, but definitely a good start to Shaw's return so far.
As I heard another podcast, when Zach Waxman, the Shawshank Redemption is pretty good stuff.
I like that.
On that one. I love a good pun, as everyone knows, so I had to give my hat tip to that. That's one of the few I could actually say on this show without having people get angry. So it was a good one. Joe G makes a good comment that Shaw only needs three more games at second base to get 10 games, which would make him second, third, and outfielder, even enhancing his fantasy appeal even more to that extent. I would love just for one season. You would hate it. You would never do it. But I would love for you to see you play just strictly OCs and not main events. So you're just in 12s. Like, I think your brain might explode just trying to decipher. Like, because I rely on you a lot, you and Ryan, for like 15s, because I've been such a 12 brain forever. So I have to like compare things a lot on that. I think I'm getting better at it. And for the most part, I'm doing okay. But I always, like, if I'm really confused, I throw it out to you guys. Like, in 12s, I think you'd be like just all over the world with that process, because it's really annoying. And sometimes, because the guy will go for like $180 to like $2 elsewhere, and it's never works in your or rarely works in your favor, it feels like.
Yeah, I don't think I would enjoy that, especially if I was doing both. Yeah, if I went all 12s,
no, I'd be just one. I said you only could play OCs for a year, no 15s.
Yeah, still not ideal, though. But I don't think, the way the bids come out when you review yours, I would not like that. I don't think.
Yes, it's tilting. All right. The second most added player in the NFBC Online Championships, Andre Pallante of the St. Louis Cardinals, picked up in 122 OCs, as high as 45, as low as a buck, average of 9, picked up in one main event because he's rostered all 15s pretty much for $32, which is not a bad price. If you look at Pallante, he's got a two-step this week versus the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Miami Marlins. Both teams can be slightly pesky, but Pallante, over his last seven starts, has been 3 earned runs or less, and 6 of 7 starts with a 3.20 ERA. He's only walked 9, struck out 33 over that stretch for a 15.3% K to walk. So the reason I'm saying this, Ben, is I've clowned on Pallante in the past for a pitch to contact skill set. It's getting a little better, and he's been quite serviceable. That's why he's been heavily rostered in 15s. Now he's moving into 12s for the two-step this week.
Yep. As soon as I saw his name, I go, oh, yeah, he has a two-start week this week, and that's exactly why he was added. But I do have Pallante in a DC, so I did see or something. Someone brought his name to my attention, I think, late last week, and then I knew about him doing well going into setting lineups for today. And Pallante has some pretty good underlying numbers over the last 3 weeks, go back to my usual thing when I pull up for my lineup setting. In that time, those last 3 weeks, he has a 16.9% K minus walk, a 3.48 Sierra, a 3.56 XFIP. He's reducing hard contact a lot, 32.7% hard hit rate against, and then Piante's XERA in that time is 2.82. The only thing, though, is that he's been kind of lucky with those results because his BABIP's 188 and the swing strike rate 7.4. And then, like, he's not getting chases outside the zone. He's not getting misses inside the zone. It's not the best O swings or Z contact numbers in that time either. But he's got to work with what we have, and Piante's pitching well right now. And like you said, it's the D-backs and the Marlins. So, yeah, it's definitely a favorable two-step. And especially in the OCs, I think you start Piante this week, and then I would jump ship. But people might just – if he has a good week, people might just see, okay, well, this is, what, five starts in a row now where he's been really good potentially. And they hold on to Piante, but I don't think he has the upside in a 12. But for this week, it's a good stream, and we don't always go over the most drops in week, but I think he'd probably be one of the most dropped players next week if we were to look at it.
In OCs, he's very fringy in an OC. I could see a world where people maybe use him as a bench streamer because maybe pitching is bad, but in 12s, I've been able to find guys to stream pretty much every week. In a 15, I would give Mike my right toe to have him on my roster just because of the decisions I have to make in so many for like six and seven starters each week. I'm like, I would love to just throw him in the lineup and not have to worry about it right now. But that's obviously hasn't been an option for me in quite a while. And that's something I was telling myself today, looking at things, is my hitting's very good. I have no problems with my hitting. My pitching in my 15s has been a struggle. And it's one of those where I feel like I need to learn how to be more aggressive in the FAB early, because like I think we were talking about, it's usually not this bad this early, but it's this bad this early this year. All right. The next most added player in OCs, and we'll talk about him in the main events as well. And that's one Yuri Perez, who was supposed to be out like 8 weeks, and now it turns into 3 weeks. Right before the show, we got news he's expected to start Wednesday or Thursday of this week. So he's already going to be in the Marlins rotation this week. Yuri Perez was picked up in 94 online championships, as high as 267. As low as $4, average of 99. He was picked up in four main events where he's still available, as high as 174, as low as 128, average of 154. I understand the price tag, Ben, just because he's an impact pitcher. They're hard to come by, especially in 15s like we were talking about. But I was not nearly as aggressive, I guess, in my 12s. He wasn't available in any of my 15s, long gone. But even in my 12s, I wasn't really there just because – before like his last starts, before he went on the IL, he wasn't that good to begin with. And he, like, at least in a 12, he felt like a streamer. Now, if he figures it out, that's great. But the combination of the results for the season and coming back so soon, I'm nervous about what's going to go on with Yuri Perez.
Yeah, I guess the one positive I'll say, Bubba, is that it's not an arm injury. And I just learned that the gracilis is in your leg, because it's what the note on the NFBC says.
Nice.
It's kind of funny. So it started out with a hamstring. Then the note 4 days later says a thigh. Then they say thigh again. And then on Monday today, they say gracilis. So that whoever's making these notes is either having a lot of fun or they don't know what's going on. But yeah, so you mentioned how he was a little shaky before the IL stint. And yeah, if you look at his game log, there was a pretty good stretch there where there was a lot of runs and walks and hits allowed. But in his last two starts, I will give Yuri credit. He had 14 Ks, no walks, and over a combined 10 and a third innings versus the Mets and the Blue Jays. They weren't the toughest matchups at that point in time, I don't believe, but he showed signs, and he was going around pick 100 in drafts or a little bit before, I believe. So people were spending a pretty good price on him in drafts and knowing that the upside that Perez has. If someone had this much money to spend on Yuri, well, good for them. They could also be in a bad spot because they're not spending their money either. And now they're kind of throwing a Hail Mary on Perez. But if you had a lot left, I think I would – he's someone that you can empty the not fully empty the tank, but I know we had a question in the Discord. Someone had a lot of money left, and they were asking, okay, how much of this budget would you spend? And you, me, I think Scott Slezak chimed in. We all gave pretty hefty totals, and he still went below that, except for in the OC. There was like that max 267 is pretty high, but – in the mains, I think Yuri went below what we even suggested. So we would have been aggressive, and I think it's good to be aggressive on Yuri, but Yeah, he's definitely not a sure thing. Look what happened with Jared Jones. Granted, different situation, but I feel like similar skill type. And Jones has struggled. You know, he came back from Tommy John, from the leg with Urie, but you never know. And it's a good upside flyer if you had the fab to spend. I would have done it. Like you, I didn't really have a chance to add Urie in any of my leagues, but he would have been at the top of my list ahead of Shaw for sure. Definitely price wise, if he had been available for me.
Yep, full agree with everything you said there. I get the upside play, breaking the bank for him, because you're not going to probably have many impact plays like that going forward, but just buyer beware is all I'm going to say on that one. The next most added player in the FBC online championships is one Cooper Pratt of the Milwaukee Brewers. Prospect got called up, picked up at 91 OCs, which is funny because that means he's available still in a ton of OCs. As high as 63, as low as a dollar, average of 15. Picked up in 57 mains, so still available in a few mains as well. As high as 160, as low as 5, average of 37. Cooper Pratt, in his first week in the bigs, he finished the league with a 5-game hitting streak, 3 stolen bases, hitting .368. Got the day off on Monday. Wouldn't worry much about that, like I told you earlier today. He's supposed to be the starting shortstop for the Milwaukee Brewers. So power can be limited. Tons of speed with Cooper Pratt. What were your thoughts on him?
Yeah, he was right behind Matt Shaw in my bid list, if it made sense to combine the two. I feel like I'm definitely looking for speed in a couple of main events, and Pratt offered that right away. He had 3 steals in his first week in the majors, so you love seeing that. A history of not striking out a lot in the minors, which is awesome to see, even though he's had pretty low averages, surprisingly enough. In 2025, his minor league average was .238, but he only struck out 15% of the time. He had a .267 BABIP, which is, it seems anomalous for someone who's that fast. And then in 2024, he hit .277, which is a lot more bearable. And that was even with a higher K rate. So the BABIP is fluctuating for Pratt in the minors. And I think he's a decent source of average. He's a .438 BABIP to start. That's going to come down. That's why he's in .368. But his K rate's only 18% so far in his 22 play appearances. Extremely small sample, but it looks good for Pratt so far. And yeah, of course, you mentioned the off day today, which is super tilting. It's only a 2-game week now, in theory, for Pratt, but hopefully he'll pinch hit or something today and maybe
in
get on base and steal.
Top it
but,
off.
What was that?
In Cincinnati to top it off.
I know. Yeah, it was a pretty – all three pitchers were – I think all three were decent matchups, yep. At least how they're pitching. So it's annoying, but I like the – and he was relatively affordable too, Pratt, based on being – a rookie and showing out the first week of the majors. So yeah, I got him a couple spots and I just hope that the K's stay low and maybe he gets a little better luck with the BABIP than he did in the minors.
Yep. I think he's was a very good pickup this week, in middle infield and speed. Yeah. Checks those boxes very, very well. Next up, Tommy Edman, a guy that I was not interested in. Maybe it's my biases in play here. Maybe we'll see if this is a fault of mine, but he'll be available still for me next week, it looks like. He was picked up in 89 OCs, as high as 71, as low as a dollar, average of 13. So as a trend, did not cost much. Edmund was picked up in 34 main events, as high as 88, as low as 12 bucks, average of 32. He's played 4 out of 6 games since coming off the IL, 2 at third, 1 in left, 1 at second. So he's going to be that super utility for the Los Angeles Dodgers because, you know, they always have someone hurt or doing something on the IL. Hit safely in 2 or 3 games. Like, I know he can hit. It's the power, the speed, the injuries. There's a lot of questions I have with Edman, but for the price, I get it. I know you're interested in Tommy Edman. So what were you interested in that made you want to get aggressive in bidding?
It was really just a full-time player on the Dodgers, full-time for the most part. He's coming back from an extensive injured list stay. And he's definitely not been the same player the last couple of years. It feels like it's mostly injury driven. I remember hearing somewhere saying that Edman hadn't really felt good since spring of last year before he hurt the ankles for the first time. And if you look at his numbers, he was hurt in 2024 as well. I don't know what happened that year, but he hasn't stolen double digit bases since 2023. He's 31 now. I don't know how the speed's looking on Savant. I could pull it up, but I won't right now though. And just the eligibility, second in outfield, and he might get third pretty soon, depending on what happens with Muncy playing there as much as we think he should, probably. But Edman, yeah, he's not a zero in power. I think it's the steals for me. It has me the most unsure of. So I definitely had Edman behind Shaw. I had him behind Pratt if I was making a middle infield string. And I think I maybe had like Lourdes Gurriel ahead of Edman as well if I was looking for outfielders. It was close between Gurriel and Edman. I think the profile for Gurriel is a little more stable. And if Edmund's not really stealing a lot of bags, then I don't know. He'll be good in a 15, but in a 12, he might be a little underwhelming. Yeah. Even on the Dodgers and even with the dual eligibility. So it's definitely an upside play. He could kind of just be declining because of his age and the injuries to Edman, but it's worth a shot. And looking at the FAB prices, $13 in OC dirt cheap. In the main, I definitely got shut out on Edman, which I wasn't too upset about because the average is 32. But if I got him, I would have been okay with it. I didn't, and I'm fine with that as well. It's just a 50-50 flyer.
Yeah, no, 15s for sure. 12s, it's tricky with Tommy Edman. He's not like it. Needs to be the right streaming week, I think, for Tommy Edman. But again, I could be totally off on this one. Next guy up here, we talked about in 15s last week. But this week, Samad Taylor picked up an 86 OC. He's as high as 88, as low as a dollar, average of 12. Picked up in 6 main events, still average of $23, high of 51 in the mains. Dropped in 2 OCs. Samad Taylor has like a 13-game hitting streak going on right now. He didn't hit in his first game. He has 13 straight hits. He's hitting ninth for the Padres, 1 homer, 4 steals, hitting 362. I think we all know this is unlikely to be sustainable, but he continues to do it. So I have zero problem streaming a guy like this while he's swinging at will.
Yeah, definitely more of the 15-team play, which is why we mentioned him first. And, of course, now the OCs catch up. It's always funny how that happens every time. But I just want to pull up his numbers. Taylor, yeah. So he's got a 516 BABIP, and his K rate is 28%, just below that. So it's gonna cool off at some point. But he did have 2 more steals last week. He's got 4 already in only 13 games, so he's running wild. But I'm just waiting for him to stop getting on base once that BABIP comes down, and then he'll definitely be a drop. So if we see Taylor getting dropped, kind of like with Piante, I wouldn't be surprised. But for now, yeah, that hitting streak is very impressive. I didn't know he was doing that well because I never ended up getting Samad Taylor anywhere last week or whatever the week was when we talked about him. Yeah, I didn't try to add him this week because he was gone in 15. So it's just the 1 homer is good to see as well because I don't know how much the power is going to play. Definitely mostly a speed profile for Taylor. So I don't know. I'm skeptical just because of that K rate and the BABIP. So see how long it lasts.
I'd be very skeptical with Samad Taylor, but run it while it's hot. If you see like 3 or 4 games in a row without a hit, you could probably just put him in the drop pile at that point in time. The next most added player in OCs, talked about him late last week as well, the Lane Train. Lane Thomas picked up an 81 OCs, as high as 31, as low as a dollar, average of 6. He was actually dropped in an OC. Picked up in 27 mains, as high as 29, average of 15. Had a 6-game hitting streak with 2 home runs last week. He's playing every day in the outfield, hitting 250 with 3 homers, walking 11%, striking out 11%, has an RBI double already on Monday. Any thoughts on the Lane Train? Because I know we talked about him in the main event part last year. It seems like he coming off a monster week, people are still jumping on board.
Yeah, I think I said I didn't even realize he was going to be playing after or going into FAB last week, which is on me, but and I did have Thomas in my bid lists, kind of in that Tommy Edman, Lourdes Gurriel range, like I already mentioned. But, yeah, so he had his most at-bats of the week last year, so kudos to everyone who added him going into week 13. He had 26 at-bats last week, almost 30 plate appearances. It's kind of insane. And I think it's a product of injury. It seems like CAG is going to first base to replace Vinny P is really what's driving the playing time. And yeah, he's playing versus Rice, which was always Lane Thomas's issue. He was better versus lefties by a significant amount, and now he's maybe. Actually, I want to look up his stats or his platoon stats because this is kind of annoying me. Please.
Yeah, he doesn't have any platoon stats this year. Let's look in the past, but yeah, he's not been good against righties in recent seasons.
Yeah, let's go to all seasons. Yeah, well, for his career, he's at 851 OPS versus lefties, a 673 OPS versus righties. In 2026, still leans that way. Not as bad, though. 759 OPS versus lefties and the 684 versus righties. That's a 205 average versus righties. So it seems like he's doing what Goldschmidt's doing. He's just doing enough overall where he's being productive. Looking at the bench, I don't see anyone who would really take over. for Lane Thomas. It's just I think it comes down to when Isbell gets back, but he has plantar fasciitis, and then Vinny P with the hamate. So I think his PT is safe for now, Thomas, but I just am skeptical of him doing it enough versus righties to stay relevant.
Yeah, I think he's locked into his playing time, so we'll have to see how that goes. But I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop, as you are as well. Again, like so many of these guys, just run it while it's hot, as you know, silly as that sounds. But
I got double tonight with an RBI, Thomas, so yep, it's happening again.
Doing his thing. All right, the next most added player, Dalton Varsho, picked up in 78 OCs, as high as 69, average of 21, low as a dollar. Picked up in 5 mains, as high as 162, average of 77. Varsho came off the IL this week and played on Sunday, hit a home run, sat on Sunday. So he came back for one game, went deep, really made people even more excited. He's hitting 256, 6 homers, 5 stolen bases on the year. It's a power speed guy. He's just always hurt, but when healthy, he's going to play center field because of his defense for the Jays. And, you know, this guy does have 20-20 appeal if he can just stay in the lineup. And so, honestly, I'm surprised that of all the guys we've talked about, I thought he should maybe be going for higher money, unless I'm completely naive here.
Well, I'm looking at – where's the 21 averages. Yeah, it's tied with a bunch of guys for the average amount of money. I don't know. Varsho's low average profile. I think the speed has slowed down as well. Yeah, he only stole twice. Well, he's had issues staying healthy. So in 2025, he only had 240 at-bats, 2 steals. Excuse me. This year in 2026, 5 steals and 215, so a little bit better pace. His last full year was 2024, relatively full, and that was 10 steals. Yeah, he was never dropped in my 15, so I was never able to put a bid in for Varsho. I would have just because of the playing time. He's basically playing full time now. I don't know. I've never really been a Varsho guy. He did help me 1 year way back when, but I'm gonna pull this Stavon page. He is looking like underlying numbers aren't very good. So he is reducing the K rate. His XBA is 252 versus his 256 average. But the average X velocity is only 9th percentile, 86 miles per hour on average. The X slug's pretty bad. The X wob is bad. So it's definitely a fill-in play. I like Varsho better in a 15. Maybe he gets hot. I don't know what are the matchups like for the Blue Jays. It's a good week for righties or lefties for the Blue Jays. I know I'm starting Jesus Sanchez and where I have him. It's a good week for them, and that'll help Varsho hopefully. But I think his ceiling's capped, and I don't know. Maybe he'll get dropped eventually in OCs as well, like we've been saying with a lot of the other guys.
Yeah, it's the power speed combo that gets me interested in certain situations. But yeah, you look at what Varsho can do in a 12. He can be very streaky and hurt you badly at times. Johendrick Banyango got sent down to AAA on Monday, so that helps a little bit with the playing time situation as well. So I think Varsho gets plenty of run as long as he can stay healthy. It's just if he can stay healthy, he's the consistent problem with Mr. Varsho. Kyle Teal was picked up in 77 OCs, as high as 91, as low as a dollar. And he was picked up in 10 main events, as high as 88, as low as $6. Not a whole lot to say here, Ben. Just he's getting activated from the IL on Monday, back in the lineup. I know I added him in a handful of places this week as to be my catcher, too. Any thoughts on Kyle Teal?
I was just able to move him into a DC spot, so that was good. But yeah, it's hard to say. He never played at all this year. He seemed promising going into draft season. Teal, one of the things that I liked about Teal was that he seemed to project to hit high in the White Sox lineup. But now a lot of things have happened. They have Antonacci emerging. Miguel Vargas is emerging. And right now it looks like today on Monday, Teal hit fourth. So he's going to have a prominent lineup position, it seems like. And this makes the White Sox just a little bit more dangerous now. I know someone else was saying on a podcast earlier today, I forget if it was RotoWire or Waxman's, that you can't really – I think it was Waxman's. Like, the White Sox aren't really a streaming target anymore, and I think Teal just helps that case even more. He will platoon, though, it seems like, probably with Drew Romo. So his off days will be versus lefties. But and now with the lineup being better, I don't know if Teal will be able to DH, so that kind of hurts some of the – appeal we had going into the year, at least I did with him. I thought he'd be a pretty close to a full-time player at catcher. splitting with Caro, who was probably on a DH going into the year, but now things have changed. So, but the way catchers are right now, if Teal was available, I definitely would have added him in a couple of teams. So I think it's a good add, and hopefully he can come back from that hamstring injury.
Yeah, the one of the concerns I have is I saw someone was a White Sox fan or beat writer or something today. I was thinking it's interesting that they brought him back to be the catcher already when in his rehab he DH'd like 4 out of 5 games and caught 1. So a guy with like the hamstring injuries and whatnot to bring him back without really catching much is a bit surprising. So I guess what this, like, he's to your point, like, is he just platoon with Romo? How does that all play out? But you'd imagine they want to get that bat in the lineup as much as possible. He's raking in his rehab starts and running. So that's the things we were looking for in the preseason as well. Next most added player in the NFBC OC is the Law Dog. Lawrence Butler is back and excited for people around fantasy baseball. Picked up in 72 OCs. Really excited for someone because he was as high as $100, but average of 14, 75th percentile, $15 in OCs. He's picked up in 4 mains, as high as 42, average of 35. He was dropped in 11 OCs and dropped in 2 mains. So this is what we're starting to get to the part of fringy players, I guess is the best way I would say this, when you're getting added and dropped pretty nicely across platforms. The Law Dog's playing, he's become the primary guy outside of Cortez, because the Sea of Cortez is it's almost, you know, in quite the drought, it feels like. It's going to be empty pretty soon. And so the Law Dogs, over his last like 10 games, hit safely in 7 of 10 for a .367 average, 2 homers and a steal. We're seeing improvements again. Were you interested in Law Dog if he was available for you? That's Lawrence Butler for those keeping track and wanting to hear names at home. Any interest there for you?
He was scooped up last week, but I'm pretty sure I had bids in to add Lawrence Butler in my 15. Actually, one of them was a main where I dropped him in back in week 10. Didn't get him back last week. But, I'm not going to say you missed the best week for Lawrence Butler so far this year, but it's in the running. 1 homer, 1 steal, .333 average. So that's a good sign. He struck out like 33% of the time roughly this week. He struck a little bit less than that in week 12. I don't know. It's just weird that he completely stopped playing, and now, at least though with the Brent Rooker injury, it's open. It's allowed some flexibility with the outfielders in Sacramento, even with Henry Bolte playing most of the time in center. So yeah, it feels like Lawrence Butler is going to be the regular for now, versus Carlos Cortez, who you alluded to. It seems like Cortez is going to be the DH more often than not, and then that means that when Rooker comes back, Cortez is probably going to be gone. So I think as long as Butler keeps hitting and then Cortez stays not hitting, Butler will probably continue to play most of the time. Looks like he's going to be platooning because he sat yesterday versus a lefty, which was always a concern with Butler going into the year, but he had the tools to maybe overcome it. So especially in – well, also, too, we saw this widespread adding of Butler, and there's not a Sacramento series this week. But he did well last week there, and I think he probably is a sit for the weekend because they have 2 lefties against the Angels, but – you play him Monday through, even though San Fran's a tough spot for lefties. So I don't know if he'll be that productive this week, Butler, but it seems like more of a long-term play adding him now, and I definitely support that.
Yeah, no, I don't mind that at all either. Like, I think he's going to take Cortez's job. It's been a long, long drought, especially power-wise for the Sea of Cortez. So not much going on there. Sticking in Sacramento, Elvis may have already left the building before the door got. It might be the Homer Simpson or the Simpson meme here pretty quickly. Elvis Alvarado picked up in 69 OCs, as high as 76, average of 18. Picked up in the 1 main event for $19, dropped in 7 OCs. Popular pickup last week after some saves. He's still sharing the role with Hollywood Hogan Harris, who got shelled as well. But last week, Ben, Elvis Andrus made 3 or Alvarado, sorry, different Elvis.
Throwback.
Elvis Alvarado made 3 appearances, 4 2/3 innings, 3 earned runs, 2 homers, no walks, 5 strikeouts, 1-2, went 1 win, 2 losses on the week. It was a rather disastrous first appearance for those that took the chance on him last week. I know in 15s you're probably holding, Ben, because saves are hard to find. But what are your thoughts? Like I said, dropped in 7 OCs already.
It's a little quick to pull the trigger, I think, but OCs are different because you probably have 2 better closers already than Alvarado, you'd hope. I guess it depends on who added him. He was held in all four of my 15 teamers, which I'm not surprised to see. And yeah, I'm holding Hogan Harris where I have him as well for now, just to see. It's I think it's gonna be a split situation between the two of them. And at least for my Harris teams, I feel good about the blowups for Alvarado. So even though I preferred Alvarado in week 13, I didn't get him because he's a little bit more desirable price wise from other people. But he's got the skills. The walks aren't that big of an issue because his whip's only 1.17 on the year for Alvarado, which is pretty good for someone who throws as hard as he does. Seems like the homers have gotten a little unlucky for him. And he did have that week in Sacramento we kind of mentioned with Lawrence Butler just a minute ago. So maybe he got hurt by that a little bit. But that's what you have to deal with because he's going to be pitching half his games there going forward, or roughly half of them. And that's just one of the things. It's like another Coors, so you're going to have those ups and downs with the closers even. But I would it's just funny that people added him now instead of the week before after he had an awful week. This is how the OCs go, I guess.
Yep, that is how the OCs go. He's available in one main, like $19 in a main. That's worth taking a shot on to see if he can start getting some saves.
It's less than I bid.
That's pretty sweet. Like that price tag, I wouldn't be opposed to seeing where that one goes. And like you said, opposite the hitters, he's on the road this week, which might be the best time to throw him and see how that one pans out. A few more from the OC side of things. Anthony K and his two-step this week, as Anthony K is already in the jam here in the first inning against Cleveland as we record, but he's set to face Cleveland and Kansas City this week for Mr. K. He's picked up in 67 OCs, as high as 15, average of 5, picked up in 11 mains, as high as 25, average of 16, dropped in 10 OCs as well. This is one of my favorite two steps to stream this week. Him and Pallante. If we talked about Pallante already, like I think both are in good situations here to stream for 1 week and potentially dump. And you know, Kay, it's been an up and down roller coaster, but as a whole, been very solid in the strikeouts. That's the biggest roller coaster for me. But what were your thoughts on Anthony Kay, who did have a nice set of matchups this week?
Yeah, I think to your chagrin, I kind of said he could be the next Gomber.
Yep.
When we were talking,
he's trying right now. He's really trying.
Yeah. Hopefully, it doesn't get that bad for you, Bubba. I did play Kay in a DC though, and yeah, so he has the Cleveland KC matchups. I pulled up how they've been doing lately versus lefties last 3 weeks. Yeah, Cleveland's been the worst team in baseball versus lefties last 3 weeks, actually basically month of June. And then the Royals have been 114 WRC plus, so a little bit above average, but when you have the Guardians matchup in there, it's a no-brainer. Let me pull up his underlying stats because I just want to see if how lucky K has been, if he has been at all.
That's where he stands out a little more.
Yeah, he's been about average. A 14% K minus walk, a 10.3% swing strike rate, CR xFIP in the low fours. xERA is at 5, so that's a little dicey. Interestingly, he has a 40% ball rate, but a 6.3% walk rate in the last 3 weeks for K. That seems so. He's kind of been walking the tight rope. It seems like, but yeah, but the way pitching is, you kind of have to add him for the two step if he's available. And I think, him versus Pallante, who would you rather have, assuming that they both do well, who would you rather hold on to, K or Pallante?
Wow. I'd probably K, but I don't know. I think K might have the higher ceiling, but the quicker path to blowing up, if that makes sense. More volatility, where Pallante might just be like a better Javier Assad.
Yeah. It's tough. My lean is Pallante, but
so yeah, it's your 15. The 15, I'd rather have Pallante, where in an OC, like, give me K to battle with.
Yeah, K has the better strikeout skills last 3 weeks than
Pallante. That's what I'm looking for
as well. So yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting debate there, but I think it makes sense to have for K to get added. And I forget
he got out of the jam. He struck out the last two in the first.
So it's the first. All right, there you go. So. Yep. He's doing his work for you, Bubba. So it makes sense. Like I said with Pallante, I wouldn't be surprised to see Kate dropped this upcoming Sunday too.
They both probably should be. And if you're in my Vegas AC, feel free to drop them. I would surely appreciate that. And I will spend all of the human monies to make that pickup happen. Trust me. All right, a couple more. Like I said here, Elliot Ramos picked up in 66 OCs, average of 9, high of 47, picked up in 8 main events. high of 57, average of 32. I just mentioned Elliot Ramos because if you're not on the Bubba and the Bloom Patreon reading the news column, he's expected back maybe this weekend from his rehab assignment. So he's not far off. And then we get to really see, like, you know, whatever you want to think about Drew Gilbert, he should be the one leaving town here. And they'll have to figure out if it's Ramos or does Jung Hoo go back to center field for me.
Yeah, it could be a roster crunch there, it's mainly because of the Eldridge, right? Because he's taking away
DH. Because Casey Schmidt's playing outfield all of a sudden. You're not taking him out of the lineup.
Yeah, so it's basically between Jung Hoo Lee and Gilbert. Yeah, so interesting. I had a drop Ramos in one of my main events back in week 11 because I had too many injuries. I didn't want to add him back because he was added the following week, so I couldn't add him anywhere, but definitely one of the better immediate IL adds. And he's definitely built more for a 15 teamer because there's not as much speed upside and the power is kind of like low 20, like 2025 is like in a full year is probably what he'll hit. So that without any speed really is kind of tough for an OC, but like we say a lot with other players, you kind of take what you can get. And then I think Ramos is, if you need a solid average and good runs and RBIs, he definitely fits that type of need. So I think he's deserving of being one of the most added players.
Yep. No, he was worth it in 15s, 12s. He really doesn't do anything for me. I've never been a Ramos and 12 guys at all. Sean Manaea picked up in 65 OCs, average of 11, high of 34. He's picked up in one main. He's picked up a lot already, dropped in 7 OCs. I guess more than anything, I know we talked about him last week, but he backed it up with 5 1/3, 2 earned, 5 Ks. It's been back-to-back starts, no piggybacking for Manaea. 11 1/3, 4 in runs, 1 walk, 11 Ks in those two starts. That's against Atlanta and at Philly, not cakewalks by any means. What do you see, I guess, your level of confidence when it comes to Sean Manaea against the Cubs this week? Well, they got rained out on Monday, so who knows what goes on with that situation. But it looks like Cubs and maybe the Jays and then a potential two-step the following week. What do you got on Sean Manaea for those out there?
Well, to answer your question, I think it was about how much do I trust it. I don't trust it very much at all. But he has pitched pretty well. He has a 14% swing strike rate, 14.5% swing strike rate in those two starts. He also has a 22.2% K-minus walk. CR exit are really good. Not throwing a lot of balls at all. A lot of the underlying numbers look good for Manaea since he's gone back to the rotation or at least been a full a starter again. So I definitely would have preferred him to the other starters because I think he has more staying power than Anthony Kay. Actually not a lot of starters so far.
No, there wasn't a lot, period, this week. It was a bad week for starters.
Which makes sense because I had some pretty short, like, one or two lists.
There were some leagues starters. I didn't even bid on pitchers in some leagues.
Yes. So, what's the percentage? Well, actually, let me try to figure this out. What's Manaea at now? He is at...
It's got
to
be 100 mains.
65% only in OCs. 100 in mains, though. Okay, that kind of checks out. I think Manaea would be a more desirable pitcher for me than Beyonce and Kay, but there's the two-start appeal. But I think long-term, I'd rather have Manaea.
Yep, I agree with all of that, actually. A name that many might not have paid attention to this week, and this is an OC ad, but will be a discussion in the main event as well. Blaze Alexander of the Baltimore Orioles, multi-position eligibility. He's been playing primarily third base. Got a shortstop start the other day. Might play some second base with Jackson Holliday's groin issue. But Blaze is outfield, second, third base eligible. Blaze was picked up in 64 OCs, average of $8, high of 35. Picked up in 19 main events, though. That's why I want to bring this up. Average of 19, high of 40. He was dropped in two main events, dropped in an OC, but he's available in all platforms still after this week. But Blaze is playing regularly, like I said, over the last 7 games, hit safely in 5 out of 7 with a home run, a steal, hitting .462. It's streaky, not going to deny that right now, but he's been playing a lot this season. And even after that stretch on the season, it's .312, 3 homers, 8 steals for Blaze Alexander. So it's not like he's a complete scrub out there this season. What was your thoughts on Blaze with the eligibility, the playing times there, and the recent hot stretch?
Yeah, he was available in one of my mains, and I was looking. I had him in the bid list. I did not win Blaze. I think it was a little too low in the FAB amount. I didn't know how aggressive people would be on him. But Yeah, the eligibility is at, you said, yeah, second, third, well, yeah, second, third, short, and outfield. That's awesome. So you can, and he's productive at all of them. It's not like you have Brett Beatty who's eligible everywhere, but he sucks everywhere. So this
Yeah,
is
it
good.
doesn't matter where he's eligible. He's eligible for the bench.
Yes.
Triple A. He's
Maybe
eligible for
catcher. He
Triple A.
might Beatty might be productive at catcher. That's about the
Yeah,
only
maybe
thing.
catcher too. Him and Mickey Gasburg. Oh man.
Yeah, for me the biggest thing, I was surprised to see Blaze. So he came up in like the most at bats when I was filtering on that one team. That's how I saw him. And then I looked to see, and he's been playing. Yeah, he said every day at third base, he is fully taking over the third base spot for Jordan Westberg. And then he used to have a platoon issue, I think. He used to be shortstop platoon a lot for the Orioles, Blaze, but now he's playing full time, so that's not an issue. Yeah, you can get out position steals at third base if you need it. And he's just such a good bench player if you want to have a short hitter bench. So in OCs, it feels like I have one of those hot hand plays in a 15. He's someone that you might just add and then hopefully hold on to for a while. And then if it gets really bad, then you cut him because I don't think Blaze has the most or the highest upside. But the steals are nice to see. Definitely the most he's stolen so f in his major league career for a season, the eight. So yeah, I like this add and more so for 15s. But I think in OCs for right now, it's a helpful add as well.
Yeah, I think he's helpful across most platforms, especially look at this week. He had like they open up against the Angels. That's always a nice spot to go hang out and get your confidence back up facing that pitching staff. If you're already rostering the likes like David Hamilton, who might run more, Blaze does everything else better than David Hamilton besides maybe the speed, but it's not that far off. So definitely like that one there. Last OC move I'm going to discuss, we can move to the main event, but I want to bring him up. Is Caleb Durbin. I just want to highlight how good Caleb Durbin has been lately. I know it's been discussed elsewhere, but I wrote about him over the weekend and was shocked by how well he's playing. And I had him in a ton of bid lists, got a few shares because I dropped Nolan Arenado almost everywhere I could because it was fun while it lasted. But the clock has struck midnight and he's turned back into an old rotted pumpkin. Caleb Durbin picked up in 64 OCs, as high as 34, average of 9. He was dropped in two OCs. He was already rostered in main events. Caleb Durbin since May 28th, so nearly a month, hitting .319, four homers, three steals, striking out less than 12% of the time. So I just wanted to highlight that. If you have anything to add on Durbin, go for it. But he's finally playing well enough where he needs to be in most lineups these days.
Yeah, finally showing the power. That's always been the biggest issue I had with Durbin, I think, especially in draft season. But he's batting sixth now every day for the Red Sox, it looks like. And he was available in my listener league, so I tried to get him. I didn't bet enough on Durbin. So yeah, this is a. I don't know if the power will stick necessarily. Let's see what his barrel rate looks like. Yeah, pretty low barrel rate, 12% or 12th percentile. He has six barrels, five homers. But if you can pull that, where's the pull rate? The pulled air is above average. So if he can do that in Fenway, maybe he can cheat some of his expected homer numbers going off of barrel rate. And I think that's fine because you really want the speed from Durbin and out of position speed at that because he's only third base eligible. So I like it. I definitely, even in a 15, I thought he was iffy. But now, so in a 12, it's a hot hand play and then maybe he falls off. But third base has been tough. So it's good to see a third baseman performing well.
Yep, it's nice to have a third baseman performing well. Blaze Jordan should be third base after tonight, so it'd be nice to have him jump over there as well. Switching to more added in the main event, this is where OCs make me laugh. On Monday, when Daniel Palencia went on the IL, this was the talk of the town. By Sunday, not so much anymore. Jacob Webb was picked up in 45 main events, as high as 65, as low as $4, average of 19. Picked up in 44 OCs, so fewer OCs than main events, which is entertaining. High of 33, average of 10 for Jacob Webb. Over his last five outings, he's allowed a run or more in four out of five outings. He has five Ks and four innings pitched. He has one save. Everything else has been quite rocky. Three home runs over those five outings. People thought he'd be the closer for the Cubs. He got the first few chances to be the closer for the Cubs. What was your interest in a guy like Jacob Webb? Because knock on wood, I don't really need a closer that bad just yet, and especially a volatile one like that. But I also want to hit, we talked about Alvarado went for 19 in the main event in the one he was available, Ben. Jacob Webb's average was 19, as high as 65 in these mains. So what's your thoughts on Jacob Webb?
I'd much rather have Alvarado than Webb, that's for sure. And my interest was I had bids of like $8 on Jacob Webb, if and that was it. If he fell into my lap, okay. I think I was only trying to upgrade him for pitchers like Hogan Harris, I think. So not kind of in the same line as Elvis Alvarado's, I guess, upside or opportunity. And yeah, this the way he's pitched so poorly since he's gotten the closer chances. I didn't want to go aggressive on Webb, and we saw the Cubs kind of mix and match a lot after Plenty got hurt the first time, and I think they have the fewest save chances in the and it was not the NL the majors, so will the opportunities be there? You could think, okay, regression will come, they'll have more close games, but who knows? So I didn't want to invest too heavily in Webb just because of the uncertainty, and I don't want to be blowing fab on someone who could just be another fab waste.
Speaking of potentially blowing fab on someone, the next most added player in the NFBC main event, I say that tongue-in-cheek because of what took place on Monday, folks. Those that picked up Estuary Ruiz this week, I hope there were no sharp objects around in about the second inning of the Marlins game on Monday, where Estuary Ruiz was batting fifth, and he got pinch hit for when Kumar Rocker came in after an opener. So no at-bat for Estuary Ruiz on Monday. He was picked up in 44 main events, as high as 88, average of 15 for Estuary Ruiz. He was picked up in 44 OCs, as high as 43, average of 8. This happened a few weeks back. People added him a lot, then playing time disappeared. He has hit safely in 5 of his last 8 games where he has appeared in games. 4 of those 8 games were as a pinch hitter and then stayed in the game. So let me emphasize that as well. Home run and 3 steals over those 23 plate appearances. So that's great production. It's just always a question of when will the production actually happen, Ben. So what was your thoughts on Estuary Ruiz, who I will be totally honest, I did not have one single bid in for.
Well, you are not alone, Bubba. I did not have a bid in for Estuary at all. Roster Resource has him as the left fielder right now, but as we were saying beforehand, Griffin Conine came back from the IL on Sunday. He's played both games. He even started versus a lefty, and he is a lefty today on Monday. So that's telling. And then everyone forgot about Heriberto Hernandez, who was a big fab ad last week, at least in the main events. So, and he's Heriberto has played 4 of the last 6 or started 4 of the last 6. And he seems like the biggest obstacle to Ruiz right now. And we've seen this with Ruiz before. He'll play or appear in games for a short stretch and then he goes on the bench. So he has that speed upside that everyone's chasing. And maybe he could be, who's that outfit on the Royals?
Well, there was Samad Taylor at one time. No, I was kidding.
Yeah, it could have Samad Taylor too, but there was the older guy who would just he just pinch run. I can't think of his name right now. Yep. So he could be like that, Ruiz, but yeah, I don't know. I'm not upset that I didn't realize to bid on him. So, and it's just very funny how that went down tonight, as you outlined before. So could be pretty tilting for his managers, but at least I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, and that's why I said, like, his last 8 games coming into today, 4 of those 8 that he played in were as a pinch hitter that stayed in the game. So it's like he's only started 4 of the last 8 games he's played in. So that's why playing time is a massive question mark with Estuary Ruiz. And same with the next guy, Johnny DeLuca, who I love. Came off the IL as of Monday, played in 3 or 4 games. Monday's was the first versus a righty, though. He sat versus the other righty over these 4 games. DeLuca was picked up in 39 main events, as high as 32, average of 13. Picked up in 18 OCs, as high as 14, average of 5. There's good batting average. There's power. There's speed. Lots of speed with Johnny. Just like Estuary, all comes down to playing time. And Terrence Gore was the guy you're looking for. Good pull, Joe G. What's your thoughts on DeLuca? Because I love DeLuca. I was very scared to spend anything big on DeLuca just because the way they handle his playing time.
Yeah, I don't know if I mentioned DeLuca before some of the other outfielders, but he was like one of the top 3 or 4 names I had on my outfielder bid list. He did start tonight versus righty, which has been my big concern with DeLuca, because if I go to the Rays lineup tracker, where is DeLuca? They actually have him on the bench. So when he came back, he played Friday versus a lefty, sat Saturday versus a righty, started Sunday versus a lefty, and now he's playing Monday versus a righty. So that first Saturday sit versus a righty had me concerned. They should play him over Victor Mesa Jr., who's sitting now for DeLuca tonight. I don't know. Victor Mesa Jr. is much younger, but I don't know. DeLuca's been playing center field and Mesa hasn't been. So their center fielder would be Mullins maybe, but yeah, so he's had the last two. So that's not good either. This seems kind of messy, like the Marlins situation with Ruiz and Herberto Hernandez. I did get DeLuca in one spot, but my bids were pretty low there. I don't think I spent too much on that one. But I like the skills. I just don't know if he's going to play versus righties, and that's really going to make or break DeLuca's fantasy value if he's not playing versus righties. And the Rays have shown in the past they won't play versus righties sometimes. It feels like he'll play all the time if there's enough injuries, but I feel like there's enough options right now where he may not need to play every day. So I don't know.
Yep, totally agree. That's the tricky part in that one. Denzar Guzman was a popular name out there. Picked up in 30 main events. He's third base shortstop eligible, as high as 57, average of 24. Picked up in 55 OCs, as high as 36, average of 12. Denzar Guzman has even dropped in 3 main events. Quite surprising, actually. Hit safely in 9 of 12 games since he was promoted with 3 homers, a steal, 271 average, 11 RBIs. He homered in 3 straight games in Sacramento, which will help, but still a 17% K rate. And I want to highlight, I wrote up Denzar Guzman a couple weeks ago for Baseball HQ for ALS PT tomorrow because dude was hitting 336 at AAA with 12 homers, 9 steals. Was looking really, really strong for a 22-year-old, really getting his first taste of the AAA level. Got promoted quickly, and it's early. Adjustments can be made, but so far, so good for Denzar Guzman.
Yeah, he was scooped up in my main events last week, so I wasn't able to get Guzman there. I think someone said he probably had the best week of his career. I don't know, but 3 homers is pretty nice, and that explains why he was scooped up in the remaining leagues. Actually, 50% now, 50-50, so that's interesting for Guzman. What's the eligibility like? So he's third base and shortstop, so that's nice. He's young, 22. He bats right-handed, so platooning shouldn't be an issue. He's played every day at third base for them, and it's worth a chance. I think he has a steal already, so he has a little power and speed, and I never heard of him, but I don't know all the prospects. So I think, especially in a 15, it makes sense. Was he added in any 12s? I'd be surprised.
Yeah, he was. He was in 12s. He was added in just
55.
Where was he? Yeah, 55. There you go.
Yeah, that's a good amount. So, it's worth a chance, especially like I mentioned with third base with Shaw, and actually it wasn't Shaw. It was somebody else we've talked about. Blaze Alexander. So third base is hard to fill, and Guzman could end up being that, but the Angels aren't the best environment for hitters, and in terms of like the team surrounding him, so he may just be out. He may start out hot and then cool off, but you got to risk it a little bit. And $24 in the main isn't terrible. It would have been more than I would have bet though, or bid though.
All right, I got no one really else here. Kyle Lee, he was picked up because of a two-step. Austin Wells coming off the IL. Griffin Conine off the IL. Anybody else of interest for you? You wanted to discuss, or do you want to talk about some potential drops we should be making out there?
Yeah, let's talk about some drops.
All right. So for those that have been keeping track with our little project we've been doing here at the end of every Fab show, is Ben put together. Actually, I'll let you describe it because I'll probably screw this up. What did you put together that you and I are looking at here to kind of give us an idea on players that maybe should not be as widely rostered as they are?
Come on, Bubba. It's the third week of doing this. I think you could say it by now.
All right. So it's a list of players that are, and it's based on OC ownership compared to the Razzball Player Rater dollar values earned. We also have main event ownership as well. So we started going up by the most negative earned down the list. And it's basically sorted by, was it like over 80% rostered or 60%? That's where I started.
At 75%.
See, I was in the ballpark. We're there. Yep. So 75% rostered. So it's just kind of telling us widely rostered players that. It's kind of like a Gene Segura test is what it comes down to. Some of the early ones, we're not so Gene Segura-y. We're about to get there now because some of these are about even money players here, slightly up or below. The Mendoza line is what I'll call it. And at the midway point of the season, even money doesn't do a whole lot for you, especially in OCs. So let's talk about it. We did a lot of pitching last go-around, but let's just kick things off with Cam Smith of the Houston Astros, Ben. Cam Smith is 95% rostered in OCs. He's earned $1 according to the Razzball Player Rater. 100% rostered in main events, which you'd expect with that 95% OC number. And the thing with Cam Smith, everybody likes to go, oh, look at his underlying this and that and that. That's great. But we got 294 plate appearances this year. Now he's hitting 219 with 7 home runs and 8 steals. Like, Dalton Varsho's stat line's better than that. He's been injured half the season. Cam Smith, what people like, it's the near 12% barrel, near 46% hard hit rate band, which, yes, very good. But an online championship, is this worth holding on to?
No, I would say not. I did drop Cam Smith in my Yahoo Home League, which is slightly smaller than an OC, but same idea. And I was holding on to him for a long time because of Cam Smith's savant metrics and how hard he was hitting the ball and how unlucky he seemed to be getting. But eventually you need results, Bubba, and he wasn't providing them. And yeah, last week the average has been a drain. 238 this past week, 208 the week before, 222 the week before that. His big week was week 10, where he had two homers, a steal, hit 269. But he had like one other really good week, week two. I have to go all the way back to week six was all right for him, but he's mainly been an average drain, and the RBIs and runs aren't there for being a full-time player most of the season. And he has like a 15-15 profile right now if you were to double his stats for the year, but you need a better average for that. That's more of a 15-team profile, and even then,
it's a tough
15. He's dicey, even at outfield where you can find guys to fill in all the time. So I think that Cam Smith should not be this widely rostered.
Full agree there. I know I'm still guilty of holding him in a few spots. I've dropped him in a few as well, but I think that's a cleansing that might need to take place sooner than later. The hard part right now is with some of the options on the waiver wire that aren't that appealing. It's just like, I'd rather just hold him for a week than, and it's not just him, like other players too. He's like, oh, I'll just wait another week till something more appropriate for the drop, not just to drop, if that makes sense. But he's definitely in that discussion. All right. After Cam Smith, I want to talk about a veteran that I know a lot of people are frustrated with. We talked about his teammate recently in Dansby Swanson. Let's talk about Alex Bregman, Ben. 99% rostered in OC, so someone decided to trim the fat. He's brought you back 70 cents this season. Not even a dollar, 70 cents. 100% rostered in mains. Alex Bregman has had 347 plate appearances, played the entire season. He's hitting 250 with six home runs and two stolen bases. He has a 5% barrel rate this season for Alex Bregman. It's beyond bad for the 32-year-old Chicago Cub. We talked about guys like Caleb Durbin, Denzer Guzman, Blaze Alexander, Blaze Jordan. We've talked about a lot of third basemen in the last 2 weeks. I think I'd be willing, at least in OCs, to take chances on almost all of them over Bregman, but it's that name that keeps people hanging on, Ben.
Yeah, it'd be hard to drop him for sure. I definitely would want to sit him in an OC. So his big thing, Bregman, has been pulling the ball in the air, and he's still at 23% pull air rate, which is in line with his career average. And the problem, though, is that he's in Wrigley now, where it kind of juts out down the line. The barrel rate is he only has 12 barrels, so, and he has six homers. Yeah, just the barrel rate being 4.8% is so bad. And you mentioned he's older now. See, I was burned a couple of years ago by dropping Eugenio Suarez.
Yeah, that'll happen.
And same position. So I get the hesitancy to not drop someone like Alex Bregman. I know we're going to talk about next. Same position, same deal.
No, we'll get two away. We got someone else. But
okay.
Yes.
So the other guy, Riley, I've sat in my home league at times. And I even went as far as sitting Riley in DC's. Or at least wanting to. The drop, at least I like Riley a lot more than Bregman, though. Yeah, I guess he's, if you really need power and he's playing a power position and third base, I could see in the right circumstance dropping him if you can get a good enough third baseman to replace him. Like if you're going to replace Bregman with Blaze Alexander, you're not really getting what you probably want.
True.
For example, but if you're replacing him with Matt Shaw, that's a different story. So I think in the right situation, you could probably drop Bregman, but it'd be hard to for sure.
Good way to break that one down for sure. Let's just do Austin Riley while we're on the third base subject. He's 100% in both main events and OCs. He's worth 20 cents on the dollar. I know a good buddy of ours, Jason Santu, is heavily on Riley. And I think he tweeted somewhere that he's got about a week or two to figure it out, or he's going to cut him in his league. On the season, Riley's hitting .211. Eight home runs and four steals. That .211 is tough, especially if it's only a 29% K rate, which you'd expect much better from. 10% barrel, 45% hard hit still is good, not great. But you said you're not you're not dropping Riley, but how close, I guess, are you to dropping Riley? You dropped Bregman first. You've made that much clear.
I do have Riley in a main event, which definitely stings. I have him in a DC or I have him, I think, on like three or four teams, Riley. So this one's tough. This hits home. So you mentioned that good barrel rate, but he's been at like 15% the prior seasons, Riley.
Yep.
His average X velocity has declined for the second year in a row. He's down 91 is still good, but it was like 93, 92 the previous 2 years. The big thing is the K rate. So we saw his K rate spike to 28.6 last year. It's at 28.9 now. And then last year he managed to keep a 246 X batting average, but now that's 209. So he's not hitting the ball as hard, and he's striking out just as much as he was last year. His barrel rate's at least there compared to Bregman's. The hard hit is there, whereas Bregman's isn't. But the contact isn't there for Riley. And there's been a lot of talk about his personal hitting coach passed away a couple years ago. Seemed to have coincided with the injuries and the decline in production, where he got hurt that first year. I think it was like 2024. So who knows how much that's affecting his performance. I feel like Riley's more of someone. So in the 15, I feel like he's more of a go down with the ship type deal. Because what are you gonna do about it? He's gonna get scooped up right away. And I think even in an OC, Riley has the upside. If you were to drop him, someone would add him immediately, I think. So, but what's he at right now? He's at 100%. Yeah. So I don't know if he's been dropped yet. If he would, I think he'd be at it immediately, Riley. So I think for now, just bench him if you can, but I would wait to drop.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. It's a tricky one. Like, you made that Eugenio Suarez comment. Like, I could see Riley going to Eugenio Suarez. I don't know if I could see Bregman doing that. Is the thing.
No, I trust Riley could
hit you 13 home runs in the month of August, and I would not be shocked type thing. And that's the kicker there. All right, let's backtrack a second here. Brandon Nimmo's 98% in OCs, 100% in mains, 60 cents on the dollar. This is a tough one. He's hitting 261, which, you know, not horrible, but 7 homers, 2 steals, 29 runs, 26 RBIs. He's just blah can be. And he's plays hurt a lot, which has always been my problem with Brandon Nimmo. It just seems like it's a profile that you could easily stream an outfielder for.
Yeah, he's a much better 15-teamer, Nimmo. Let me get him up. Because I have him in my home league, and I've been rolling him out there, which is a 12-teamer a lot. But you look at his Savant, his like the top six are all – most of them are like 90th percentile or higher, and then the barrel is 74th percentile for Nimmo. So he's getting unlucky. He has 7 homers but 26 barrels. Wow. That is insane. That can't be right. He has 7 home runs. He has 26 barrels. He has a career-high barrel rate. Oh, man. And his sprint speed, 71st percentile, only has 2 steals. It feels like there's an error on Savant, because he should be doing a lot better in Nimmo than how he actually is doing. It could just be the ballpark, honestly, because I think that was a concern with drafting Rangers hitters. And then that's why I was in on Mackenzie Gore at moving there, because I thought it would be a good spot for him to pitch. Oh, man. So this is a tough one.
Yep.
98%. At least in the OC, you still need 5 outfielders versus like Yahoo, where it's standard of 3 or like an ESPN. I think you got to hold on to Nimmo. It's been bad, though. Like, he's played the full year. He's a negative value. So that's why we're talking about him. It's it.
It's because he's not scoring runs and driving them in either. It's just like he's doing little to nothing each week. It's like just enough to be there, but still be extremely not useful.
Yeah, I would kind of with Riley. I think I'd want to hold him and just bench him if it comes down to that. But yeah, the results aren't there when I feel like they should be. It's a weird one.
Yes, indeed. All right, everybody. Chandler Simpson, 98%. I'm going to add on to this one. 98% in OCs, 100% in mains. 10 cents is what he's earned you this year. 10 whole cents. He is 2-for-3 on Monday night. He stole bases on Saturday and Sunday. Those were his first steals since May 11th. Coming into Monday, hitting 262 with 32 runs scored, 15 RBIs, 16 steals without a home run. Like, literally, we said he has to hit for average and steal bags. He's not hitting for average. So, to your point, Ben, drop zone.
I'm amazed he has that much value for those numbers, though. Like, he should be. He shouldn't be that high. Like, how's he a positive earner, whereas Nimmo is negative? That's insane. Yeah. That must be the 16 steals. We're not showing the component of the dollar value. So, easy drop, especially in OCs. Even in main, if he was available, Simpson, I don't think I would put a bid in.
Yep, I'm fully with you there. There's a reason I didn't want to roster him anywhere, because this is the bad side of what could happen with a rabbit. Let's talk Matt McClain, because we talked to some of these pitchers recently. Matt McClain, he's 96% in OCs, 100% in main events, 40 cents. He's made you 40 cents this year, Matt McClain has. Too bad you can't count those good old spring training numbers from Matt McClain. On the season, he's hitting .204, Ben, with 8 home runs and 11 steals, 31 runs, 25 RBIs, .204. And Elliott De La Cruz might be back later this week to really screw things up. So where are you at on Matt McClain?
I've been forced to play him in a DC, so that's 15-team league, so different story. This is probably someone you can move on from, because we keep mentioning middle infielders that are getting available on free agency, and it's not like a third baseman where it's so bad. So it could easily come back and bite me, but we keep saying that last 2 years for McClain. He's played over a full season, and he's hit like .210 combined. Granted, he's got 23 homers and 29 steals in that season plus, so that's nice, but the runs aren't really there, and then the RBIs aren't there either with him. So it's basically just like a homer and steals, but you're not getting anything else in the other three categories. And even in home runs, he's not really a positive. So yeah, this is a little bit easier to say you could drop him, I think.
Yep, Matt McClain, you can move on from for sure. Joey Cantillo is another interesting one here. Really great start to the year. It's been a roller coaster of emotions for the last like month and a half or so. He's 87% rostered in OCs, so he's slowly disappearing there. 100% still in mains, which makes sense. 90-cent dollar value, according to the Razzball Player Rater. Joey Cantillo's made 16 starts this year, Ben, with a 4.05 ERA, a 4.45 Sierra, and an 11.5% K to walk. So that's the big one. I'm like, oof. What's your thoughts on Joey Cantillo?
My knee-jerk reaction was to say cut, but... Well, also, he's not showing the skills that made me want to draft him going into the year, because he was like an upper 20% K rate in 2024, 2025, even with the high walk rate, but that was resulting in a K-minus walk that was above average. It was 16.5 last year and then 17.8 the year before. And I think the swing strike rate is also down. You mentioned 11-something, or I'm seeing 12-point. So it's like in line with his other two seasons. So Cantillo he's doing fine that way, but... Maybe the percentage is high, but I think, yeah, he should still be rostered in like half the leagues at least. And I know he just had a great 8-inning performance versus, Emma McClain still. Where is Kent? You remember who he had that start against? It was the Astros. 8 innings, 9 Ks, 1 walk, 4 hits. So he did really well that, and he only had 1 run allowed. He's just been so up and down. Like he did bad against the Rangers, who should be a good start. The Yankees roughed him up. He seems like somebody who's hard to nail down the good starts. So maybe a bench streamer in an OC, but I wouldn't be tied to him like I would in a 15 probably.
Yeah, 15.
He was dropped in one of my mains, and I didn't really put it that big of an effort into Adam. So maybe that kind of is he's cuttable. So
he's just a tough one. Like I like what he could maybe be someday. It's just feels like either the league's figured him out or he's running out of gas or something, because he's not what he was in this early start to the season. That's for sure. All right. We'll stop there. Pick up next week, because there's another slew. It's pockets where there's a lot of guys I want to talk about, it feels like. So we'll continue on this journey, because we're going to get to the Mackenzie Gores, Manny Machado, Taylor Wards, and others of the world where most likely holds, but the All-Star break's about 3 weeks away, and you really need to start making some decisions here pretty soon. So some of those guys might be harder to move on from. But Ben, if you're ready, let's review our ad drops of the week, because I know you're a heavy spender these days.
Yeah, maybe it was like the 1950s.
All right, that's an inflation joke, folks.
Yeah, like when things were 25 cents all the time. First up is the listener league. I added Cooper Pratt here, dropped Carlos Cortez 12-5. That drop was going to be a common theme across my four teams. And this is going to sound weird for listeners. I added Carson Kelly. I dropped Vinny Pasquantino 6-0. This league, I have one of two leagues where I have Liam Hicks. And I said, see, I finally needed to drop Vinny P. So he's got a month plus timetable till he's back. And he was bad before. So I didn't really hesitate dropping Vinny P for a catcher. At least a good catcher. I had a short list. I wasn't going to drop Vinny P for anybody. I would have gone zero at catcher if it didn't make sense to drop or add someone. So Pratt and Kelly there. And then going to the New Jersey main. This is where I got DeLuca. So I got DeLuca, dropped Gleyber Torres 8-3. So I stayed below $10 here. Did not do that in the listener league. Then the main three. I did well here. I added Kyle Karros, dropped Will Vest 1-0. And then I added Jonah Heim, dropped Carlos Cortez 1-0. I almost mentioned Jonah Heim in the 15 team ads.
Yes.
But I knew I was going to mention him here. He's DHing somewhat with, well, I mean, everyone was, at least in the Discord, everyone was going crazy when he was hitting bombs. And like he had that one, was it the walk-off homer he hit? That was like a pop-up.
And it was the game-tying home run in Vegas. That was ridiculous. Yeah. Then he had a few more in at home late in the following week in Sacramento. He's been getting his home run on, that's for sure.
Yeah, and he was a fantasy asset in Texas a couple years ago. So it's not like he came out of nowhere. But as long as he's playing relatively every other day or so between catcher and DH, like they've been doing. So Heim started four of the last five games, two at DH, two at catcher, three righties, one lefty. So he was like the bottom of the line for where I was going to replace. This is also another team with Liam Hicks. So same situation. I wasn't going to drop Cortez for just anybody. I wanted to make sure it was at least someone who's going to be what I viewed as like a net positive in the catcher two spot. So him for a buck, I can't complain. And Karros has been good at home, at least, I think. So I'm fine with that. $2 there, Bubba.
So Karros has been hitting over 300 for a few weeks now. So he's no power, but he's doing the other things.
Yeah, third base. I'm surprised he wasn't a little more desired in that main. So I'll take it. And then last is the hybrid main. I got Cooper Pratt again. I paid up here. I wanted a good MI because it's been a struggle last couple of weeks trying to find someone stable there. So I got Pratt, dropped Tristan Gray, 38-23. And here we go again. I added Anthony Volpe, dropped the Goose. So finally We're dropped back. The Goose 8-7. Yeah.
Why is Volpe hitting fifth for you guys, by the way?
He's one for three. It's because of the lefty. Did you see the rest of the lineup, Bubba? It's pretty.
Oh, it's bad. I just laughed when I saw them. Like, it's more so like that's how bad things are. The Volpe's hitting fifth.
Yeah. So following Volpe for those, it's Jazz who's hitting 223. Then they have Dominguez who can't hit lefties, Caballero, Ali Sanchez who's already out of the game. So I would have put Caballero ahead of Volpe probably, but fifth through ninth, how can you complain though? So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, drop the Goose. They just don't want to. Well, he started out better in the minors, but then now he's been struggling. So I figured just cut him now. Now that I have Yiner Diaz, I didn't have to hold on to the Goose any longer. And then last one was I added Victor Robles, dropped Carlos Cortez. So I'm now done with Cortez, 2-0. And I also have Randy. So this is like a backup for Robles is like a backup in case Randy didn't come back. But I think Randy's coming back tomorrow, it sounds like. So I'll probably look to drop Robles on the weekend.
I hope Randy's back tomorrow. That would be outstanding. Is that it for you?
Yep.
Got it. All right. So for my Vegas 12-team listener league, Matt Shaw dropped Nolan Arenado 16-11. Got Palante in this league, dropped Bryce Elder. Sayonara, buddy. Like, good God. Talk about a guy that has been blown up of late. 9-9. So I'm like fourth place in that league. So that means there's somebody in the top three that wanted him. So sorry, not sorry on that one. One of the players I added a lot of places, Walker Buehler. I dropped J.R. Ritchie 13-0 in this league. I was more contested bids elsewhere. But we talked about Buehler, I think, off air recently when we were kind of surprised. I'm like, oh, this is why he was widely picked up. It's been a really good run for Walker Buehler. And maybe it's just a run and things are done. He's got the Dodgers this week. I don't even think I'm starting him where I don't have to this week. It's more of a long-term play where pitching's bad with Buehler. In the 12-team Vegas league, it feels like you're in a 15-teamer, by the way. But over his last eight starts, it's been three and runs or less in every start, two and runs less in seven of them, four straight starts with one run or less. He's given you at least five innings every start. He's got a 2.76 ERA, and it's not even been like that lucky. It's a 3.78 Sierra, which I will take if that's what he comes back with. 14.5% K to walk. You'd like to see a little more in that department from Buehler, but he's getting closer and closer to looking more like the Buehler of old compared to the one we saw like last year. So I was willing to start taking some fab chances on Buehler to see where that pans out. So he was a common pickup wherever I could find him, and kind of mad that I didn't get more aggressive in 15s last week to get him. In my Vegas OC, I tried to be very stingy, and I only got one move through the door, which is fine. I dropped Angel Martinez, picked up Daniel Schneeman, who's basically Angel Martinez's replacement, four with the runner-up of two. He plays versus righties, doesn't play versus lefties. I got five righties this week. I'll move on if I had to. But like Shaw, who I wanted, went for 68. Pratt went for 34. Guzman, 26. I wasn't looking to get real crazy. I'm more looking forward to some pitchers were dropped this week that many won't think are that exciting. But in this league, they become exciting. So I might have to, you know, put a couple dollars. Like even the facade is in play coming up. My OLAC picked up Denzar Guzman, dropped the first baseman, second baseman for the White Sox. Bit of six, runner-up of three for Guzman, so pretty happy with that. Bubba in the Bloom Listener League, got Buehler, dropped Richie, 22-11. Got Cooper Pratt, dropped David Hamilton, been in the Listener League, 6-0. 6-0. No bid on Cooper Pratt. And then in my Beat Bubba OC, I picked up Cooper Pratt, dropped Angel Martinez, 4-0 in that league. So, yeah, aren't these leagues great, Ben? Don't you love it? Don't you miss not playing in these leagues?
You're learning. Awesome. Those nice low bids.
Oh, yeah, I had so many of these now. So I'm just like, yep, we're just going to take whatever falls to me here. Like, I think I had, like, waterfalls of eight players. The highest was $4. I was like, just give me one of these. We're good. All right, a couple of listener questions from the YouTube here. Joe G says, Mickey Moniak, who was activated from the IL on Monday, not in the lineup against the lefty, or Johnny DeLuca in a 12-team daily roto bin?
If you don't need speed, Moniak.
Yes, and Moniak will be on the strong side of the platoon, assuming the Rays go back to platooning ways, which you never know. Chasco FCF says, since we're on the A's, is Bolte a hold? Of course.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're talking to Team Bolte right here.
Yeah, these are the two guys.
Yeah, you know, we text each other when he even gets a single. Like,
Steal, Bubba's getting hurt. He's known about it.
Yeah. Joe G says, drop Riley for Matt Shaw. Yeah, because you mentioned dropping Bregman for Shaw. Would you drop Riley for Shaw?
I have Riley in a shallow 12-team league, and I have not dropped him yet. So I would try not to do that.
I would try not to, but it's getting very close. Very, very close. Chasco also, this is more just a funny question that would never have been taken seriously preseason. Would you rather have Brandon Nimmo, Kyle Tucker, or Jordan Walker? That discussion never would have happened preseason, but it's Jordan Walker right now.
Oh, yeah, hands down, Jordan Walker.
But I will say for you Walker fans out there, go look at the rolling graphs. Things are slowly going the wrong direction at the moment, so keep an eye on that.
What do you think's wrong with Tucker, Bubba, real quick before we
He left with back spasms.
Fitting.
Left the game on Monday with back spasms. So if he wasn't already having other problems, now we have something to at least pinpoint at this point in time. As Chasco says, it's a sad day when Bubba drops Angel Martinez. Poor one out. It was. But he's out 4 to 6 weeks, and that can't hang on right now is the problem. All right, Ben, we'll wrap it up there. Any final thoughts as we're heading into we just finished week 14 fab, so week 15 coming up.
Nope, we covered a lot of names this week, which is good considering there weren't a lot of big names. But I don't mind this time of the year where you're just bidding like $6, $5 and to see what falls in your lap. It's less stressful. For sure.
Yep. Definitely working that angle to try to see what falls my way. And I also like just going over a bunch of names on these fab reviews because they were still available like in half their leagues. So this could almost be an early fab preview for you as well. Like at least guys put them on your watch list, see how they do this week. Cause a lot of the players we mentioned were not even picked up in half of OCs, let alone they're still available in some main events. So go check it out. We'll be back with you guys next week to recap the week 15 fab. Only a couple weeks away. from the All-Star break, which is crazy to think about, almost into July. But until then, check out Ben on Twitter at BreakingBen_T. I am at BDNTrick. This is Benched with Bubba, episode 863. Catch you all next time.